respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth." And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Jesus told his disciples about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. I have to confess, this is not going to be news for many of you in this room. Prayer as a parent is a uniquely challenging affair. Before becoming a parent, I used to begin my day every day with the morning office, daily morning prayer, followed by 20 minutes of contemplative prayer where I would sit in silence with a prayer word and let all of the distractions of my mind and of my life follow the way of the wind, while focusing on this word that would center me on God's wisdom and presence within me. I went from being still and knowing that God is God to having an infant in arms and being caught up in the chaos of creation, which, thanks be to God, Scripture reminds us, is still a part of the divine process, that chaos of creation. In the earliest years of parenting, I learned the pray when you can, where you can, how you can method of prayer. Prayer became for me what I call catch you on the rebound, God, prayer practice. God, could I just get a few consistent hours of sleep? God, help me to find something worth saying on Sunday. Oh my God, said in lament or exasperation. Thanks for being there, God. I'll catch you on the rebound soon, later, just not now. Eventually, we were able to create a more meaningful ritual in the family, one that integrated the reality of life with an infant or toddler or preschooler, now elementary schooler. I began putting on We Sing Bible songs in the morning, so that we would have these songs about the truth of God's love and the Word of God resonate around us and find its way into our hearts as we went about our morning routine. Eventually, we began extending this into a slightly extended mealtime prayer where we would open up the Book of Common Prayer to this beautiful resource in there in the early pages called Devotions for Individuals or Families. There's one for the order in the morning and one for order in the evening. And we would open that up and follow the very simple one-page prayer form around the breakfast table or the dinner table. And when it got to the part that said reading, we would open up, we still do, open up Willa's children's Bible, and she would pick whatever reading she wanted to choose. This was what prayer became. for that morning prayer ritual became my persistent effort to call out to search for, to grasp God in the chaos of life paid off with a little creativity. And a joyful richness began to settle in my heart and spirit, in my family, through this morning prayer time of praise for God's abundance within my family, within our lives, even in the midst of our mundane routines. But I have to admit that I wonder who really was the persistent one. When I lived in the Diocese of Chicago, when I lived in Chicagoland, I served on the Diocese of Chicago's Commission on Ministry, which is a commission that helps discern call to ordain ministry and prepare people for a call to ordain ministry. So at my first Commission on Ministry meeting after Willa was born, she was 5 months old, and I was a very harried mom. I mean, I made it to the meeting, and I sat down, and I was like, okay, what's next? Right? This was the pace of life. Great. I'm here. Whew, let's go. I was met with this invitation to reflect. Where have you seen God in your life this month? It's like a bus running into a wall. This invitation to return to a still, contemplative space. And I recognized God as the river of grace that had been carrying me, despite my sleepless, fumbling, yet best efforts at finding God. Despite my hardly showing up for God, God was as constant as the air I breathed, as the ground that held me up. Where was God? God was the persistent one, cradling my very being, enabling me to live this generous, generative life that was overflowing with abundance, even when abundance sometimes felt like drinking from the fire hose. But maybe it isn't our persistence or God's persistence, but the dance that we do together, me and God, you and God, hand in hand, cheek to cheek, holding tightly to each other, flowing side by side. Or sometimes maybe shoulder to shoulder, caught in an embrace, not of dance, but of struggle. Today we hear one of my favorite stories in Scripture, just a piece of it, but it's the story of Jacob at the river Jabbok. Now, up until now, let me give you a little background on where Jacob's come from as he finds himself at this river bed. He has stolen his brother Esau's birthright, which caused his brother Esau to want to kill him. So Jacob ran away, and he finds his uncle Laban far away, and he goes to work for him. And it turns out that Laban is as good a swindler as Jacob, maybe a little better even. When Jacob fell in love with his daughter Rachel, Laban tricked him into marrying his other daughter, Leah. God bless Leah. And then Laban entrapped Jacob into 7 years of indentured servitude to earn Rachel's hand, which he eventually does. Jacob eventually flees his father-in-law to escape Laban's plan to kill him. Gotta really wonder what this Jacob character was like, huh? It's not a raving review for his character. So now he's on his way home. He's run from Laban, and he's on his way home with his family, with all of his possessions, to face his brother, Esau, to face all that he has run away from, to face all that he has done and become as he anticipates a homecoming with his betrayed and murderous brother. And on the banks, before he crosses the river from present to past, from brokenness to reconciliation. He wrestles with himself, with his memory of Esau, with a creature, a heavenly creature, whom he will come to identify as God. He wrestles all night long. And then the moment comes when Jacob felt a fierce pain as his challenger dislocated his hip. He's crippled and clinging for life or for death. And as light is just about to break the dark of the struggle, Jacob refuses to greet the dawn with anything less than a blessing. Here's how the celebrated American writer and theologian Frederick Buechner tells this part of the story from Jacob's perspective. He said, "Let me go." The words were more breath than sound. They scalded my neck where his mouth was touching. He said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." Only then did I see the first faint shudder of light behind the farthest hills. I said, "I will not let you go." I would not let him go for fear that the day would take him as the dark had given him. It was my life I clung to. My enemy was my life. My life was my enemy. I said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Even if this blessing meant death, I wanted it more than life. "Bless me," I said. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He said, "Who are you?" There was mud in my eyes, my ears, my nostrils, my hair. My name tasted of mud as I spoke it. "Jacob," I said. "My name is Jacob. It is Jacob no longer," he said. "Now you are Israel. You have wrestled with God and with man. You have prevailed." That is the meaning of the name Israel. I was no longer Jacob. I was no longer myself. Israel was who I was. The stranger had said it. I had tried to say it the way that he said it. Israel. Israel. I tried to say the new name I was to the new self I was. I could not see him. He was too close to me to see. I could see only the curve of his shoulder above me as the first glimmer of dawn on his shoulder, like a wound. I said, "What is your name?" I could only whisper it. "Why do you ask me my name?" We were both whispering. He did not wait for my answer. He blessed me as I had asked him. I do not remember the words of his blessing, or even if there were words. I remember the blessing of his arms holding me, and the blessing of his arms letting me go. I remember the blessing as blessing the black shape of him against the rose-colored sky. I remember as blessing the one glimpse I had of his face. It was more terrible than the face of dark or of pain or of terror. It was the face of light. No words can tell of it. Silence cannot tell of it. Sometimes I cannot believe that I saw it and lived, but that I only dreamed it. Sometimes I believe I saw it and that I only dream I live. Jesus told his disciples about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. There is a heart component to perseverance. Maybe this is a heart trying time for you. If you're carrying a heavy burden for yourself or for someone, if you, like so many, feel discouraged, angry, or outraged in response to the seemingly intractable problems before us, or the latest offensive actions in the public arena, please remember the importance of tending your heart. Where are you in need of encouragement and persistence? Maybe you simply need to keep calling out to God in the midst of the chaos of your life. I need you, God, and I'll catch you on the rebound. Or maybe you're being called to tune into the persistent divine energy that sustains you in every moment of life. That river of grace that carries you, that cradles you. Maybe you perceive God doing something new in you, that you are becoming something new and unexpected, and you need perseverance to wrestle with God as you move more deeply into becoming who God has created you to be. Whatever it is, wherever you are, pray always. Do not lose heart. And do not let go until you have been blessed by the God who is guiding you always to generous and generative new life. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten